Thanks, Caden, for leading us this morning. Let's thank Caden. He's a visitor, took his time out to come lead us, so thank you for leading us in worship this morning. If you guys have your Bibles, I want to invite you to take your Bibles, and we're going to turn together to 1 Peter chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible today, the guys are just loaded with a stack of Bibles back there. So just let us know if you need one. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And I also just want to encourage you guys to put your phones away, anything that would be distracting to you as we give our attention to God's word. 1 Peter chapter 4. You know that if you're driving, it's really important to keep your focus on the directions, to follow the signs that are leading you to go where you're headed. I know that none of you guys are driving yet, but even if you're not driving yet, hopefully you're not, you should know that you need to follow the signs when you're driving. And it won't be very long before some of you will be driving and you'll put this into practice. There's a lot of different signs out there. I found a couple that I thought were kind of funny, and I have a couple pictures here. The first one, I think, there's just a lot of signs going on here. This one's telling you not to go left or right or back or forward. I think you're just supposed to stop and you're not supposed to do anything. Kind of confusing signs there. Here's another one. This one is, I don't think it makes much sense at all. It just says sign not in use. So I don't know what that sign is supposed to do. I have another one, I think, here. This one just says falling cows. I don't know how real this is. I think it might be a real sign. So there's some funny signs there, but we also know that there's also some really important signs for us to follow if you're going to be driving carefully. One of those is called the one-way sign. I think it's the next one. I think I mixed it up. It's the one-way sign. This one is telling you that you need to go only in this direction. This is the right direction for you to drive in. This is the way that you need to go. And to go any other direction would be really, really dangerous. There's another sign. It's the one before this. It's the wrong way sign. You guys have seen this before, maybe, if you ever pay attention. It's a pretty easy one to see because it's very important. It's a sign that's in red and it says wrong way. If you're going this direction, you need to stop and to turn around as fast as possible. It's a sign that's warning you that you are in danger, that you are going the wrong way. If you're driving, if you're out on the road, you need to know that there's some really important signs to follow, especially the ones that tell us which way to go, some of the most important signs there are, to know which direction that we should be on, that we should be headed toward. And the Bible talks to us in a similar way throughout the Bible about different directions that we can go. And really, it only talks about two different ways, two different directions. You can find this in lots of different places, but I think especially of Proverbs in the Old Testament. It tells us that there is the way of the fool, the person who's going in a way that's wrong. They're going in the wrong direction in their life. And then it tells us about the person who's walking in the way of the wise, somebody who has come to God and who is in awe and respect for God, fearing him, somebody who's walking in this wise way. There's other places in the Bible that talk about these two different directions for your life and really only two directions. Jesus, in one of the most important verses, I think, in all of the Bible and in the most loving way, he says, there is a way which leads to destruction. And there's also a way which leads to life. Matthew 7 talks about that. Matthew 7:13, Jesus warns you that there are only two ways to live in this world, two paths that we can be on. And when we read this book here in 1 Peter, I think we see some of those same kinds of warnings for us. Peter's been talking about somebody who's saved. He's talking to Christians, people who are on this new way of life, this new pathway. And he shows how there's a big difference, a big contrast. There's a big opposite that you're going to start to experience if you're a Christian going in this way versus the way that the rest of the world is going. Things are going to start to stand out if you're in this other direction. And even here in these verses this morning, I think they're here to help us think about which way you are on. Which direction are you going? These verses are even here to help us consider that for our own lives, to know which way we're on. It warns us about two and only two directions that you can be on. And I think especially we'll see that these are some very encouraging verses if you are a Christian, if you're going in this new way, this new direction, a way that's going to be different from unbelievers, but that is the best way, the way that we should all want to be on, the way that leads to life. We'll also see here a very serious warning for you if you are not a believer in Christ, that you are going the wrong way. We'll see all of that here, and I want to just give you this big idea this morning that we'll see most importantly, and that's that Christians are saved to go in a new direction. Christians are saved to go in this new direction. If I'm a Christian, God saved me in order to no longer go in the way I once used to live, and now to go in the opposite way. It's the only way that leads to life. Now, being a Christian, Peter has been saying, has and involves sometimes some things that we wouldn't choose, some things that we don't necessarily like. We might be treated unfairly. You might be treated unkindly, treated as different or weird at times because you're following Jesus and you're living in this world in a way that's different from the rest of people. So Peter's here going to remind you, if you're a Christian, here's what you should be all about. Don't forget what God saved you for. Here's what God saved you for, this new direction. And again, if you're not a Christian, these verses are like a big red wrong way sign here to remind you, to teach you, to show you are going the wrong direction. Let's read here from 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the desires of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Christians are saved to go in a new direction. That's what we need to know and see here. And to get this, I want us to think about just two points this morning. And first, we need to remember here, if we're Christians, in verses 1 through 6, the old direction that we've been saved from. from. Christians should remember the old direction we're saved from. If you're a Christian, if you're saved from your sins through trusting in Christ, you're not about some things anymore. You're saved to go in a new direction, away from sin and away from what you were lost in and from what was going to bring God's judgment. And now you're going to live in a new direction. And we hear an instruction there in verse 1 saying that since Christ has suffered, you should arm, as a Christian, you should arm yourself with the same thinking. That means to be prepared, to be ready, like a soldier who's ready for anything. You're supposed to be ready as you live in this world for whatever comes. We know that there might be some hard times as you follow Jesus. You're going to go against the grain. You're going to stand out. You're going to look different sometimes. If you're committed to following Jesus, you might be treated unfairly in an unkind way because you're following Christ. Peter says, you need to be prepared for that. Know that that's something that we should expect, that we should start to be ready for if we're going to follow Jesus in this world. Jesus faced difficulty in this world, and so do Christians. But that's not out of God's plan. That shouldn't be a surprise to us. We're part of something new now. And verse 1 says that at the end there, that these Christians who suffer are also people who have ceased from sin, those last few words of verse 1. If you're a Christian, you're somebody who's ceased from sin. And that's kind of a confusing verse right there, some words that kind of might be a little hard to understand. But I think we know that it's not saying if you're a Christian, you've stopped completely, like you're not going to sin anymore. You're perfect. You're zapped with like a lightning strike and you're going to be perfect now. That's not what it's saying about a Christian here. I think ceased from sin is just saying that if you're a Christian, you're now going in a new direction. You've committed to go and follow Christ instead of what you used to live for before you knew Christ. You're not about sinful things anymore. You don't want sin in your life anymore. You've been saved from that. You've ceased from sin. You're now about something so much better, and that's following Christ. You're living for someone who's so much better than your old way. What is that new direction that you're living in, that new person you're living for? Look at verse 2. It says, we live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. I love that thought, that if you're a Christian, your thought should be, I'm not about sinful things anymore. I'm about living for Jesus. He rescued me, and the rest of the time I have in this life that's here in the flesh, the rest of this time I have here, I want to live it for God who loved me and saved me. I want to do what God wants. I want to know the joy of obeying him and following him and seeing how he works in my life. I want his will for my life, not what I used to be all about in my sin. That's a good reminder. I think sometimes people think about being a Christian like having a Costco card. You guys know what Costco card, you guys have Costco cards, your family? Yeah, like it helps you get into Costco. If you don't have one, you can't get in. Sometimes people think, you know, if I become a Christian, I have like a little bit of a card, like a member card to heaven. And I'll be good when I get to heaven someday, but now I can just kind of do my own thing. I can keep living in my old way of life. I don't have to change because I've become a Christian. But that's not what being a Christian is about at all, we see here. A Christian, a true Christian says, I'm not about my old sinful ways. I don't want sinful things in my life anymore. I've repented. I'm turning from sin. And now I want to honor God. The evidence of someone who is a Christian is that they hate their sin and they want to live for God. A Christian should hate their sin and want to live for God. Verse 3 talks about the way the course of the Gentiles, that's just a way to say unbelievers who are still going in the wrong way. He says that, verse 3, that the time has already passed is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles who pursued a course of all of these kinds of sins. And the list there is awful, and it's sad. We see there in verse 3 all these different kinds of sins. By verse 4, it says that these people are running in this way, kind of like in a flood of sin, a flood of dissipation. That's a terrible life to be living. The Bible talks in other places about being a slave to sin, being caught up in your sin and feeling like there's no way out. That's the way of an unbeliever, and even finding joy in what they are, happiness in what they shouldn't be finding happiness in. I think of a friend I used to know who used to go dumpster diving, which is kind of a weird thing to do, but he liked to go, and he loved the idea of going like to those big dumpsters and jumping in and kind of like, you know, finding some, maybe hopefully like some kind of treasure in the middle of all that garbage and filth and disgusting, gross trash. And I think that kind of is describing spiritually here somebody who's an unbeliever, somebody who loves sinful things, who loves the garbage, who loves things that are not lovely or beautiful, but that are wicked and sinful and don't please God. Things that are disgusting to God and should be disgusting to us. These people are flying down this course, even out of control in their sin. That's what someone who is not a Christian is all about. It's the pattern, and it's what marks their life all the time, following sinful desires. It looks like making choices that make God sad, choices that bring God's judgment, choices that you know deep down in your conscience are wrong, choices that go against a holy, holy God. Look at verse 5. A really sad verse. It tells us without Jesus, unbelievers are guilty for all their sin. They will give an account, it says, to him. That's God, who is ready to judge the living and the dead. That's a serious, serious verse. Without Christ, there is an end that you don't want. God is ready to judge people who are following and living for their sin. God is ready to judge sinners. But then we get an incredible verse, verse 6, which says, "For the gospel has for this purpose been preached." The gospel is the good news of Jesus for sinners. And verse 6 says, "There are some who have died, and even though they've died, they are going to live in the Spirit forever." That's talking about Christians who have died. And even though they have died, they have been saved because they believed in the gospel. When they died, they did not face God's judgment for their sin. Instead of God's judgment, they found God's embrace, God's welcome into heaven forever. And their sins have been taken away because they've believed in the good news, the gospel of Jesus. You know, if you're a Christian, if you're believing in Jesus, you can praise God even today. You have so much reason to praise God right now because he saved you. He gave you the gospel, the good news that Jesus can take your sins away. And he did that by dying on the cross in the place of sinners, taking God's judgment on himself. And because of that, you can be forgiven. You can live with God forever. That's your story if you're a Christian. And you can praise God today for doing that in your life, for rescuing you from this old way of life that you would have been all about. I think it's also amazing to think about the fact that if you become a Christian now, you're going to be saved even in this life from so much pain, so much sorrow, so much sin. If you become a Christian, God saved you even from that kind of life now. And instead, he's going to give you a life that's all about living for him and filled with joy following him instead of your sin. That's such an encouragement to us. I think it's also an encouragement if you've become a Christian to remember that these old things, your old sin isn't what you're about anymore. You've been saved from that. So at the same time, we need a reminder. We need a reminder that sin is dangerous, that sometimes we're tempted to go back to our sin. And we need to keep turning away from it, keep repenting of sin, keep putting it to death. This isn't what you're about anymore. God's saved you and forgiven you, and now you're going in a new direction. You're leaving sin behind. God saved you for something so much better. I think these verses also are a great few verses for you if you're not a Christian this morning. I think they act like that big red wrong way sign to say if you're following your sin, if you're going this course of sin, if you haven't turned to Christ, your future is not good. Your future is God's judgment for your sin. But there is the gospel for you. There is good news for you if you trust in Jesus. You can be saved from that sin today. You can be forgiven. You can be given a new life. You can be put in a new direction. God can make you a new creation. And the Bible tells us that you need to repent and believe in the gospel. Turn to Jesus. Turn to the good news of Jesus and be saved from your path of sin. Here we see these two different ways, these two directions. And first here was the old direction we're saved from. But that leads us to our second part, and that's to see the new direction that we're saved for. A new direction we're saved for. And here's what verses 7 through 11 are all about, to know that if you're a Christian, you've been saved for something so much better than your old life of sin, what you would have been about. What does that look like? What does it look like for you to live a life filled with good things instead of sin? Well, I think it's really incredible to think about that God did save us, not just for us to sit around and wait till heaven comes. God saved you to do some really great, awesome things, living for him, serving him, being used by him. I love to think about that. In verse 7, we think about the fact as Christians that the end of all things is near, it says there. The end of all things is near. We know that Jesus could come back at any time. There's nothing more that needs to happen before Christ can come back. And if you're a Christian, that is going to be the best day ever. You have so much to look forward to be with Christ forever. And because we know that's happening, we're going to start to live here differently. I think it kind of might be helpful even to think for a second here, just kind of as a side note, like, why hasn't Jesus come back yet? We know that it says the end of all things is near. It's going to happen. It could happen at any time. But why hasn't Jesus returned yet? There's a verse in 2 Peter, in 2 Peter 3:9, that says that God is waiting to return. He is being patient. God has not returned yet. Why is he being patient? It's because he wants all to come to repentance. God desires that all people would be saved. He wants all people to come to the knowledge of the gospel and to be rescued from their sinful ways by turning to Christ. We know that's why God is waiting to return, why Christ has not returned yet. But we know there, verse 7, that the end of all things is near. So how should we live as Christians if we know that's going to happen soon? Well, I think there's just three ways that I want to point out to you quickly. Three ways. And before we do that, I love what one person says about these verses. How should Christians live in a new direction? This person says, this writer, that the right response to the coming end of the world, the right response to the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return, is to live a faithful, obedient, normal Christian life. God wants us to live just a faithful, obedient, normal Christian life. I love that. Things are going to be kind of ordinary here. This isn't saying, you know, you need to go be a missionary. Not that you shouldn't be a missionary. Hopefully there are some missionaries someday in this room. This isn't saying you need to go read your whole Bible this afternoon and have it all memorized by Tuesday. No, this just says some very simple encouragements for you as a Christian. And they're things that I know that you can put into practice even now if you're a believer in Christ. So let's look at what's here. And I just want to give you an A, B, and a C. The A is that we should be seeing things God's way. Verse 7 talks about that. It says that we should be sober. We should have sound judgment. We should have self-control for the purpose of prayer. I think of that like saying, I should see things the way that God sees them as I live here in this world. It's saying like my mind and the things I'm pursuing, they're lined up exactly with what God wants. I think of it like, you know, two tracks of railroad. They're parallel. They're perfectly parallel. They go right alongside each other. Here's God's will. And if I'm a Christian, here is what I'm doing. I'm lined up with what God wants. I'm making good judgment. I'm keeping sober. I'm seeking God. I want what he wants. It means reading your Bible to know God. It means seeking to know God by praying. Really just simple basics of being a Christian, to see things his way. I think that also might be just a good point here to say that this doesn't mean that if you're a Christian, you're never allowed to have fun anymore. Like this is saying, you know, you need to give up everything that you enjoy. Like you can't ever play video games, or you can't like drawing anymore, or sports or music. That's not what this is saying. God never says anything about you being a no fun Christian. In fact, if you're a Christian, it should fill those things with joy that you didn't have when you weren't a Christian. God wants you to know the joy of living for him, even in everything you do, doing it all for his glory, whether that's playing a sport or doing your schoolwork or whatever it is. So we see here that God wants us to see things his way. Second, B, I want to say that this is loving and forgiving like God. This is the new direction of a Christian, loving and forgiving like God. And you see that in verse 8. It says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Christians know God's love. We've experienced God's love. It's been shown to us. And that affects the way we live here in this world. God's forgiven me from all my sins. God is so gracious, so kind to me as a Christian. And so that affects the way I treat other people in this world. It affects the way I treat especially other Christians. Because God's shown so much perfect love towards me, I should love others. I want to show that kindness and grace toward other people. And that shows up how you forgive. That's what covering sins is about, forgiving. It also shows up in being hospitable, like verse 9 talks about, showing kindness to strangers and to people who aren't like us. But then there's one last direction here for you as a Christian, and that's C, to serve others for God's glory. Here's a simple encouragement to serve others for God's glory. And that's in verses 10 and 11. We read there that every Christian has a special gift and we should use it in serving others. God's graciously given you, if you're a Christian, one spiritual gift. And for each of us, it looks a little bit different. Other places in the Bible tell us it involves speaking and encouraging and exhorting. It could be the way you give or the way you lead, the way that you show mercy. And God's going to make that clear, that what that gift is as you live for him. But now we just need to know that God wants us to keep on serving in his strength, to use whatever God's given me for his glory. Maybe you could even think of one way that you could serve as a Christian this week. What's one way? Maybe that's a conversation you could have with your parents. How can I serve as a Christian? To serve in a way that honors Jesus is what God saved us for. And all of this, verse 11 says, brings glory to God. I love to think about the two opposites you see here. This life filled with sin and a life that's filled with joy and peace, serving God, living for him. There's really no choice between the two. It's so clear which direction we should want. And this passage is warning us about those two directions, those two ways. And I think it should make us ask, can you say which way you are on? Are you going the wrong way? Are you without Christ? Are you lost in your sin, going in the wrong direction? Or have you turned to the way, the only way? Have you turned to Christ? And have you had your life filled with joy living for him? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you love us and that you gave us your Son, Christ, to save us from our sins. Thank you, Lord, that though we are all sinners, that we all deserve your judgment, you provided the way of escape. You provided the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to you, God, except through Christ. So we thank you for your Son, Christ. I pray that every student here would be a believer in your Son, would be saved for a new direction to live for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.